Covenant service. This is this annual event, which for a special Sunday for us here at Emmanuel. Other churches do it too. I know they do. But it's an opportunity, an important opportunity, I believe, for us to make and to renew our commitments to God, first of all, but also to each other. I'm sure you do this every day. I hope. I hope when you spend time with the Lord and all those things, yeah, you give yourself to God afresh. I tell you, we need to be doing it moment by moment, not one Sunday a year. If you're anything like me, we need to be doing it on a regular basis, and I understand that. But there's something special about renewing it together as the body of Christ. There's something very powerful, I believe, and significant about that. And if you are a visitor this morning and you're a regular member of another church somewhere, then feel free to be part of this with us and engage with it, but perhaps even think about your own folk and church back at home. Now, last week we launched our verse for the year, this is it. And of course, you've learnt it now, so your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, can you remember where it's from? Matthew 6, 10. Yes, Matthew 6, 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6, 10. Yeah, and we've got this sort of imagery here, which I'm going to be picking up again. But when last week we considered what it meant and the importance of having kingdom as a vision for our lives, and kingdom more particularly as a vision in taking us deeper and allowing God to have his way in us as individuals, but also corporately. And I want to pick up on that a bit later. But in your flyer, which in your order of service for the promises, if you just want to slip out that flyer, because there's a flyer inside about freedom in Christ and steps to freedom. I mentioned it in the notices, and I just want to pick up on it again now, if I could. It's an encouragement. As a church, we have been doing freedom in Christ. Certainly at the beginning of last year, this time last year, we were most of the life groups in church went through it. Many of you have probably done it before. And it can easily get familiar, like all sorts of things. But there's an encouragement, and using the Covenant Sunday as a pivot point for that, we're wanting to perhaps ask you to revisit those steps to freedom. And many of you will have received, if not had one of these, during your Freedom in Christ course. And this was a particular day, which I think most life groups actually held. And there's lots of information in here. If you've given it back and you think, oh, I'd like to do this, I'd like to go through this afresh, then I've got a few more copies down the front here. Please come and grab one at the end and use it. Take it. If you want to give it back afterwards, that's fine. Because we it saves on resources and we can reuse them in the course coming up. But I just want to ask you to seriously think about almost seeing this as a bit of a spring clean. I know we're not quite in spring yet. We're sort of on the edge. It's a lovely day today, and as Adam said, the bulbs are poking through. So we're on the verge. But see this as an opportunity where we can have a bit of a spiritual spring clean with God. So much of the world gets into us, and it's just part of it. We need to be constantly coming to the Lord and asking for his cleansing, asking for a freshness about our relationship with him. It's not all contained in this, please hear me. It's about other things too, but for this particular Steps to Freedom does help us to do that, and helps us from selling ourselves out back to God in that sense and saying, Lord, I'm yours, I'm available to you. God can then use us as his people much more effectively. As I said, if you've never done it before, I would encourage you perhaps to get on the course. It's about a truth encounter. The truth being the scriptures. And as we read the scriptures and then apply them. And it's the application which freedom in Christ is all about. I really would encourage you to do it. But just going back to this image, if I could, for a moment. Sorry, I've missed out that. That's the flyer. just going back to this image, if I could, just for a moment or two. I don't know whether you've noticed. It's not in the border, is it? Have you noticed the Y's and the O's? It's sort of pushing the boundaries. And do you know, it was particularly thought about, that was. It wasn't just a mistake of our graphic artist. Okay, there's a reason for it pushing the boundary. Why, I wonder? Why is that? Because the kingdom is designed to grow. And whatever we put around it, it will push that boundary because God is outside who we are. And that's the heart behind it. It grows. Okay? And you know, the danger which we have is that we put God in a box. We put the kingdom of God in a box, because what we do is that we live with a particular pattern of how we do life. We even do it as church. That's why you come to Emmanuel and you don't go somewhere else. Please don't. It's great that you're here. And that's why some people go to other churches. Because there's a particular pattern which we get familiar with and we enjoy. And we think, yeah, this is what it's all about. I like the worship. I like the boogie when Adam stands up and leads us in worship, you know. And I like the reflective stuff in other times. You know, we get used to it. And the danger is, that's how we treat kingdom. And that's how we treat God. And we become comfortable. We become fixed. And we box God. But God can't be contained. He wants to burst out. Do you know, I really struggled with a decent picture. This is pathetic, this picture. But it gives you a bit of an idea. I wanted a box which was just burst. And I'm sure you've had some deliveries which have been like that, haven't you? Where it's been thrown around the back of a lorry or something, and it's all over the place, and it's all ripped. And do you know, that's a lovely image of what God wants to do. He wants to burst out. Not tear us to pieces. Please get me the wrong word. Take it too far. But it's what God wants. He wants us to so allow him and so release the kingdom in us that it just bursts and it pushes the boundaries. So that we expect and we see God doing something else. God himself, of course. Again, I tried to do this. That's pathetic, really. I'm trying to sort of say, if we think about the great almighty creator God, he wants to burst out into our lives and into this world. And the kingdom which he's given to us is part of that. He wants us. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all that who is God wants to break out. But we can't contain him, of course. We thought about this in our Coming Messiah series before Advent, where we were considering the infinity of God and our finite minds. And of course, we're never ever going to comprehend a God who spoke and the world came into being. The cosmos came into being. What? And we think we've got it all together? No way. But what God wants us is to experience something of his kingdom, his presence, his life breaking out within us. And of course, he made this possible through the ministry of Jesus and particularly through the cross and the resurrection. That almighty, powerful God restricted himself and put it all in the name, all in and through the life of Jesus. But even Jesus proved on the resurrection Sunday, you know, that resurrection day, he burst out of the restrictions. And that resurrection life is yours and mine now through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us. And so I believe that we can and we do and we will see the kingdom of God manifest here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that prayer. You've been praying that prayer, many of you, for years, decades even. I remember praying that prayer when I was at school. It was so boring. It had no meaning whatsoever. And the danger is, that's where we sit. We don't recognize that God's kingdom and his will, he wants to release on earth as it is in heaven. God is ruling in heaven. The nature of heaven, there is no sickness, there's no death, there's no tears. Read into Revelation and the end of Revelation. That's where it's actually all going to end up anyway. But God has chosen you and me at this time to manifest that kingdom, or allow that kingdom to burst out within us. Oh, my word. And you want to make a recovenant, a commitment to God this morning? Yes, absolutely, they say. But let's face it, as amazing and as wonderful that is, being very honest, much of the time we don't quite see it in quite that way, do we? It doesn't quite work out that way. And certainly when we consider Jesus and the early church ministry, we seem to have reduced its potency and its potential. And I believe that's a lot of the time because we don't believe it. It's our own unbelief which restricts the extension and the power and the release of the kingdom. We don't believe it can happen here. Or that God can use me or you, us. So we don't expect. And therefore, we easily limit and restrict what God and his plans and his purposes are for his church and for us. We can so easily forget. And God can do immeasurably more, can he not? Yeah. Ephesians 3:20, Paul reminds us, immeasurably more. We've looked at this many times. What is immeasurably more? What does that look like? How do you quantify that? Immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. He wants us to step up, to step out in faith, I believe, to pray bigger prayers, to be more expectant of God and who he is and what he wants to do, to expect even the kingdom to break in on earth as it is in heaven. Let's not be crushed or overwhelmed by the world and our own circumstances, because that's where the unbelief settles. We get crushed. We might pray a few times, and because we're not where we should be, or the circumstances aren't right, we only pray a couple of times for someone to be healed, or we only pray a couple of times for someone to get saved, or something like that. And then we just haven't got the momentum anymore. Oh, this is so much hard work. Yeah, some of it is. But do you know, I think it's about our expectation. It's about saying, this is not about me, this is about God. It's God's kingdom. He's the one who breaks in your kingdom. It's not about us being in the right place at the right time, just getting our right words together. It's just about God. Yes, we do have a partnership with him, and that's what he wants. But I believe it's about our expectation. And you know, on that thought, God led me, I think, to another very well-known verse from Isaiah 54. And it's verses 2 and 3, and it says this: enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Wow. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Now the imagery there is, it's not normal for us, and not many of you like camping or go camping. A few do, but you're thinking, oh, I don't do that anymore. And of course, the guy ropes and things, a lot of it is all gone now. It's all sewn in and elastics and stuff. Yeah, the imagery is out. But how about this one then, about building plans, making plans to extend? All right, it's there on your notice sheet, the New Living Translation. Enlarge your house, build an addition. Spread out your home. Spare no expense. Who's considering an extension this year? Don't answer. for you will soon be bursting at the seams. Your descendants will occupy other nations and resettle the ruined cities." Those verses, or that verse, was obviously, those words were spoken to Israel. To meager little Judah who was struggling, who were feeling overwhelmed by enemies and empires, and I think it was the Assyrians at that particular point, and they were struggling. And so it was hard. But God was trying to encourage them, "Hey, I'm still God. The circumstances around you might look a bit daunting. It might look as though it's not going to work, but I am still God and I can do this." And I believe the challenge is, don't just expect the norm. Don't just put your tent up every day with the same, in the same position, with the same cords in the right place, and you know, the curtains all zipped up and tied, you know, at the entrance. Let's not restrict. God is saying this is a challenge, I believe, to make space, to think outside of the box, and to prepare for the enlargement of God's kingdom as it grows and it's established amongst us. I used to use an illustration when I've talked about these sorts of things before. Anybody grow spider plants, as they were? I forget what the official term is. But spider plants, they're sort of spiry, sort of green and white thingies. Anyway, but it looks a bit like big grass. But you put it into a pot, and eventually the root system gets so full, if you keep watering, it will still grow, it will still be there. But if you ever take it out of its pot, it's nothing but root. It's actually swallowed up pretty well all the soil within it. It's become what they call pot-bound. You know things about this, don't you? A few gardeners amongst us. Okay, I don't claim to be, but my dad taught me this. And I tell you, the best thing to do, if you want to see that particular, it will restrict itself to that pot. Until actually you put it into a different environment. And that root system will stay all closed up. And the top will, it'll thrive if you give it a bit of water. It'll be okay. But it won't actually expand. And I remember picking up one of these really tiny, it was about a 3-inch pot, I think I got one of these things in. And I put it into a bigger pot, 6-8-inch pot with some new fresh compost and a different environment. And I tell you, the thing just took off. And it was babies here and there, right on the end. They dangle on the end of this spiral thing. It was amazing. Because what had happened is that that which was restricted was put in a different environment. It was allowed to expand. It was allowed to extend. And it would keep on doing that. It might become the day of the Triffids or whatever it might be in the end if I kept planting it on and on. But I tell you, it grew. It expanded and it was fruitful. And you know, I believe that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be planting ourselves on, putting ourselves into an environment where we will grow. And it starts with our mindset. It starts with our mind. It says, "God, I'm going to set out today and I'm going to expect you to put me in situations where your kingdom wants to break in. Where in a conversation I'm going to have or in a set of circumstances I'm in, I want to be able to pray. I want to be able to expect that you are going to break in a new way. Your kingdom will come here on earth as it is in heaven." Put yourself in a new environment, a different environment. I believe this building, which we're in, was an outside of the box thinking process some time ago. Was it not? Those of you who've been in this church for 10, 15, 20 years or more, you'll have been through this process. But now, it's a reality. How did it get from just an out-of-the-box thought into bricks and mortar where it is today? How did that happen? And I believe that it was hard work in the planning, in the fundraising, the physical building, the bricks and the mortar, as good or bad as it was. We won't go into that. But there was lots more work, all sorts of work. But it wasn't easy. It didn't just happen overnight. It took hard graft. It took commitment. It took financial sacrifice. It took determination and pressing on through. But in the end, all driven by faith and trust and expectation in God, it became a reality. And I know that this place is being used and is a miracle. Because God took hold of a thought and made it something bigger. And I believe that what we have perhaps done since moving into this place is become a little bit small-minded in our thinking. With a lack of expectation of what God really can do. I wonder if we've limited what God wants to continue to do in this place. Perhaps we've become overwhelmed with our immediate, focusing on only on the now of our incapabilities, rather than on the abilities and the possibilities that we have in Him, in God. Therefore, we limit ourselves with only a during my time perspective. It's easy to do. I realize that times change, circumstances change, and we get older. And therefore, we are a little bit more restricted. But God doesn't change. God still stays the same. And our roles may change, but let's not let that affect on how we see God and our expectations of Him. We might not be involved in quite the same way, but God is still God, and God can still do it. And I believe God may well be stirring us at the beginning of this new year, this new decade, to think beyond ourselves, to be thinking of other possibilities, to dreaming with God from His perspective, not our limitations. Because that's where the unbelief sets in. And I can feel some of you thinking, oh, but I'm tired, Mark. Yeah, I know. I understand that. I'm pushing that sort of boundary myself and I get, I know, I understand it. I feel it with us. But we're in this together. But I tell you, we need to be starting to say, God, pot us on. God, move us. We want a fresh environment. We want something new, which You want to grow and birth within us. It's so easy to shift focus. And I want you to know that I'm not pointing the finger. As I said, it's me as well. I look back 7.5 years, I think it was, when I first came here. We were all buzzing with expectancy about the new building. We met in the school and it was hard graft getting the chairs out and doing all those sort of things, setting up every single Sunday. Who remembers that? Yeah, quite a few of us. And we were trusting, we were expecting. There was a sharpness about who we were, about what God was going to do amongst us. And He started while we were in that place of transition. It was buzzy, wasn't it? Yes, I know God has done many great things amongst us in this last 7.5 or so years since this building went up. And since we've been in here, and it's been brilliant. And God's blessed lots and lots of people, and we've seen lots and lots of things happen. And we have lots to be thankful for. Yes, yes, yes. Please hear me. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. But now perhaps God wants us to be refocusing again, sowing seeds for the next season, for the next generation, preparing the ground. Sowing, watering, and nurturing an increase of the kingdom of God on earth. Yes? Yeah. And I tell you, it's going to take all of us. We all need to be at work in this garden, if we're going to see that sort of growth. Of course, there will be need to keep going on some of the things which we currently do because God is still in them and it's still right. It might mean that we need to reassess what we are doing and perhaps even pull the plug on some stuff which is not fruitful. Good activity is not what it's about. Kingdom activity is what it's about. And I believe that's where we need to be. And yet some of these things, these new things that God wants to add, I've got a few examples. For a revival spirit to grow in us again. And that might be, that's a real challenge to me, I think. For God to fill us again, to flow over us and to flow throughout through us, out into our community with the love and the buzz of God and the life of God. Keeping the wave vision. Do you remember? We've adopted that as a church, certainly the church members. We've agreed that the wave vision, that wave breaking the shore of the town, it's corporate. It's not just us. It's the other churches too. But we're wanting to see God break through and to touch lives, many lives, with him. I believe one of the other things God wants to expand is that stirring for spiritual hunger, which is missing in some of our age groups in our church. The younger generations, the 20s to the 50s, there's a lot missing. Please hear me if you are in that age group. I'm not condemning you, all right? But we need more. There's lots of us in the topper end, isn't there? Faithful, praying people, giving people. Yes, amen, thank you. And it's good that we can be that. But I tell you, there's a big gap. And it's not just our church, it's all the other churches. And I think across this land, let alone here in Swanage. And I believe that's one of the things, that's the challenge, that's the environment we need to be pushing. It's great what Fee and Churches Together are doing and Firefall and all this sort of stuff. Pray for that. Support that. Affirm it. It's good. Because that is starting to touch that age group which we need to be touching. It's good. Pray for the younger ones in our church. If you're not in that age bracket, keep praying and supporting it. But we need to be praying for an increase of the families. We have lots of kids. The baby cafe is great. You need to come here on a Tuesday morning. It smells a bit. But it's brilliant because it's buzzing with young mums. It's superb. It's lovely. And if you're here again other mornings, we have a constant stream of mums and toddlers and sometimes grandparents or whoever, but they're bringing their kids in and using the seaside room. It's great. But we need an increase in that. And we need to be able to build the bridges to those people. Share the gospel with them. Help them to encourage them to see the reality of God. But it's that missing generation. And with that comes leaders for me. We're desperate for more leaders. Leaders, not in big time things necessarily, but in pioneering different aspects of our work. And we need to pray that God will bring those sort of people in. And generally for growth, that the kingdom really will come, which may mean we need to consider developing new things, perhaps being a whole new way of being or way of doing what we understand as church, but actually is miles away culturally from other people who are not within the church. It's this breaking out of the box culture. I don't know what that might look like. Few ideas. There's things happening around our nation and it's starting to have its effect. But we also need then to be willing to change if that's what it's like. Or to let others do something if it's not necessarily within our remit. But that's what it's all about. If we want to see kingdom come, then we need to allow God to break the boundaries which we put on it and the shape and the nature of what we put on it. And then, of course, there's their personal stuff, isn't there? Our own personal relationships, our circumstances. It would be good to believe and to pray that the kingdom and even bigger things will happen for you and for me. And that starts, you know, when we wake up, or try and wake up in the morning. Oh, God, help me. It's usually the prayer, isn't it? You know, but it's then saying, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And we've touched on it already. And those are only a few. But those are the things which I see, some of the things which I see, which we need to be push, push, push. Allow God to push. But we need to put the environment in place, the expectation, the faith in place for that. So let's keep praying. Let's keep expecting. And perhaps in a more determined and focused way, perhaps. In faith. The bigger, the bolder things. Let's be lengthening our cords, pushing our tent curtains wider, strengthening our stakes, and adding more space for what God wants to do, for Him to fill it. You're probably thinking, well, we've got plenty of space. It's still empty chairs. Do you know when a church gets to 80% or 85% of its capacity, it won't grow? So you need to do something. We need to do something. I had this dilemma in my previous church, and we thought about balconies and all sorts of things. I tell you, it's about us saying, God, what are you saying? It might be a completely different expression of church to accommodate the growth. Who knows? But it's kingdom which we're about, is it not? And I believe that's where we need to be focused. So before we make our covenant promises, what I'd like to do is encourage us to pray. So what I'd like us to do is to pray. And I've highlighted a few of the things which I've mentioned, and you might want to add to them. And so before we move into making our commitments, I'd like us to pray together. To pray that God will give us a feel for the boundary-pushing kingdom. Yeah? Amen. Some of you are looking very blank and thinking, oh my life. Well, I believe this is where we're at. I believe this is a significant time. And what better when we remake our commitments and our covenant promises to one another and to Him? Crucial. So you might not be able to see those particularly clearly. If you're able to turn into twos and threes to do this, that would be brilliant. If you'd rather pray on your own, again, that's also fine. But let's take a few minutes to do this. And to pray kingdom. These are just guidelines. Let's pray that kingdom of God will come amongst Emmanuel, amongst us here in Swanage. Let's focus on ourselves a little bit for this Sunday, so that then we will be the people God wants us to be in a wider community. Yeah? Let's pray. Turn where you are. Turn into twos and threes, or stay on your own. It's up to you. Let's pray.